Thank you, thank you. Pastor Chris and Joy Potter and Miss Florence Crystal Potter. And in our book, you're Miss America, always. Well, all summer long, we have been declaring this is the summer of miracles. Many of you need one. And it's good to know that if God ever performed a miracle, he still does, because he is the Lord God who changes not. And we believe in miracles around here. And each Sunday during the summer, I'm looking at one of the miracles of Jesus. We're teaching in a series on the miracles of Jesus. And we're believing together for you to receive the miracle you need this summer. Today, I want to talk about the miracle Jesus performed that was outstanding, and all of them are, but this one was most unique. Jesus and the Apostle Peter and a few other disciples were out and about one day when a tax collector, they were corrupt, came to them and looked at Peter and said, "Your teacher there, does he pay tax?" And Peter stumbled at first over the answer, did the best he could. Peter was a stumbler. There's hope for all of us. And then immediately, though, Jesus said to Peter, "Well, we shouldn't be obligated. It's a corrupt system." These are my words, not his. But in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 27, Jesus said to Peter, "Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook." Listen now. "Go to the sea, cast in a hook. Take the fish that comes up first, and when you've opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money." One translation says a silver coin. Jesus said, "Take that and give it to them to pay your taxes and mine." I'm talking about the miracle of finding a coin in the fish's mouth. What Jesus just gave them was an instruction for a miracle. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. An instruction for your miracle. I remember, and I went back to look, 32 years of pastoring this great church. And I have preached almost 3,000 sermons. Not only here, but in other places. And what an honor in my life this has been. And if someone were to ask me, what are the top 10 out of 3,000? I wouldn't know what 9 of them were, probably. But I do remember God giving me a revelation many years ago. In fact, I went back and searched the date. It was October the 17th, 2004, standing right here, when I gave a message called "The Working of Miracles." That seemed to me as one of my life messages. I had stumbled like the man who was working in another one's field and discovered treasure under his feet. It had been there all along. That happened to me back in 2004 when I realized how many times in the Gospels Jesus gave an instruction and a person heard it and followed it and a miracle happened. How many times miracles are predicated on hearing an instruction and then being obedient to the instruction. I remember in October of 2004 when I preached on the working of miracles. I remember one layer of that revelation for me was there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many believe in the gifts of the Spirit anymore? There are 9 of them. And we gloss over some very important words as we recite them if we're not careful. One of them we've always thought is the gift of miracles. But that is not what Corinthians says when you read the list of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. The literal name for that gift is the working of miracles. Miracles are to be worked most of the time. Now, God is sovereign. He can do what he pleases. And we do like it when suddenlies happen. But many times the miracle we need will only come to us if we hear an instruction and then follow it. I remember saying in October of 2004, when you ask God for a miracle, he will give you an instruction. That's so very important. And here in the story of this miracle, the coin in the fish's mouth, Jesus could have done it another way, any way he wanted. But for whatever reason, there is a common thread in the Gospels concerning miracles that he allows us, those of us with the need for a miracle, to work with him in the performing of a miracle. And it begins with an instruction. When you ask God for a miracle, he will give you an instruction. Now, suddenly, the word suddenly, and that's how we like God to work, isn't it? He has done some things suddenly for me. Some things I didn't even know I needed done. He can do it suddenly. But the word suddenly is only used 41 times in the Bible. But the phrase, it came to pass, is used 450 times in the Bible. Now we have a suddenly, that's when God gives you your miracle instantly. But then we have, it came to pass, that phrase 450 times. You still get your miracle, but it's not suddenly. It's progressive. Sometimes God blesses me in steps and in stages, just like he does you. And so much is determined by the instruction he gives us early on and what we do with it. Now, instruction is a very important word. Solomon had a lot to say about instruction. If you want some homework this afternoon, go and read, do some Google search with your Strong's Concordance, the word instruction in the book of Proverbs. That's a blessing for you. The definition of the word instruction is a direction or order. Detailed information telling how something should be done. Now, when you need a miracle, you need God to give you direction. You need him to give you some marching orders. When you need a miracle from God, you need God to share with you some detailed information on how something should be done. It's an instruction for your miracle. Now, can I just be honest with you right here? I hate following instructions. I think it's a man thing. I think all men, especially. You women, the reason you appear to be more spiritual than we men is because you women are quicker to follow an instruction. I remember when our girls were young, Brandy was getting her first bike, so that's been some years ago, and I went to the store. It was way back in the day when $10 was $10, and I looked at the bikes, and I said, that's the one for her. I don't know how old she was, 5, 6, whatever. So I want that bike right there, whatever the price was. They said, would you want us to assemble it or will you assemble it? And I said, how much does it cost? $10. I said, oh, I will assemble it. I'm saving that $10. Just give me the pieces in a box and I'll put that thing together. Oh, how I wish I had spent $10 more. It took half the night. There was an instruction sheet and all the pictures of the nuts and the bolts and the instructions. And, you know, I read the first two or three, and I thought, I don't need that. I think I know where this goes. So when I have ever, and I haven't assembled much in my life, Brenda winds up having to do that because she's better at following instruction. Line one, okay, done it. Line two, now let's do that. And it's following, it's called following instructions and patience. So, and when I do assemble something, I always have nuts and bolts left over that... I mean, I think that's a sign I didn't do it right, but if it'll pedal down the street. So I put that thing together for Brandy when she was a little girl, and I remember pushing her off, you know, to help her get started as she was going, and I remember saying, angels, please. Because I'm not so sure if I followed the instructions. I'm sure I didn't follow it. So angels, I'm going to take up the slack I've left, please. But we hate to follow an instruction, but just listen to a few miracles that required following an instruction. His very first one, turning water into wine at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. He didn't just wiggle his nose like Tabitha on Bewitched or Samantha or whoever that was. I know half of you are Googling right now. Who the heck is Tabitha and Samantha on Bewitched? No, here's the conversation that took place in his very first miracle. People were at this wedding party, and the host was about to be embarrassed because he had run out of wine. And so whispers started happening in the crowd, and a few of the guests got wind that we're almost out of wine. And Jesus had never performed a miracle yet, but he was one of the guests, so with his mother Mary. And when Mary overheard the whispers that the wine is about to run out, she said, Jesus is here. Whatever he says to you, do it. And as you know the story, Jesus began that miracle, his very first miracle, by giving an instruction. He said to several of the men there, take these empty water pots and go fill these vessels full of water to the brim. In fact, John chapter 2 and verse 7, Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. What we had there in miracle number one was a need and an instruction, and then people following that instruction for the miracle to take place. Over and over, it happens just like that. On another occasion, the disciples had fished for a while and hadn't caught anything, and they were professional fishermen by trade. They had caught nothing, and Jesus spoke to them from the shore as they were coming in. Do you have any meat? One translation said. Or what he was really asking, did you catch anything? Did you bring back anything to eat? And the disciples said, no, sir, we have caught nothing. And in John 21, verse 6, he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Now notice again the thread. It's a common thread throughout miracles. Is an instruction will come first before your miracle is worked. Some people are hard of hearing. A few people have accused me of being hard of hearing. Sometimes I am dull, not always sharp of hearing. But what if they had not heard? What if they had not followed that instruction? They would have come in hungry with an empty net, not able to feed themselves or their families. But it began with an instruction. There was a need. God wanted to meet the need, but it began with an instruction. Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. They heard the instruction. I hope some of you will hear an instruction today. Not by words I will speak, but a wonderful thing happens when God's people get together like this and we honor his word. So many times, the greatest miracles that have been worked in your lives, in your families, in your homes, I would find out about after the fact, and many have told me over the years, well, you were preaching one day, and I heard the Lord say, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And I would say to them, I never said that. Hey, it's not important what I'm saying. As much as how important it is that God speak to you. And when we get together like this, we're like under an umbrella, an open heaven, if you will. And it's so possible in this environment, in this atmosphere, corporate worship, for you to hear just the instruction you need, whether I say it or not. What if they had not heard? What if they had not followed the instruction? Cast your net on the right side. I've noticed also these instructions God gives us, the seed that is the beginning of a miracle we need, they're doable. He's not asking to move a mountain up front. A simple thing. Well, cast the net on that side. Take that pot and go fill it up with water and bring it back. Fill it to the brim. Doable. The instruction you get, if you hear it clearly, you'll find it easy to do. That's step one in the working of your miracle. Then on another occasion, yet another miracle. There were 10 lepers begging for healing. They had heard Jesus from afar. The law prohibited them from getting close to anybody. Back in that day, still true today, even though leprosy is not the global epidemic that it was in Bible days. But back then, the law required, if you were a leper, you were highly contagious, you were the scourge of society. Nobody wanted to be around you. It was dangerous for you to have contact with another human being. So the law required that the lepers stayed together in a group, usually outside the city wall, so that the infection of leprosy would not be spread inside the city. If you were a leper, the law required that if you saw a human being come close to you, getting within close proximity to you, the law required that you scream out, I'm unclean, I'm a leper. And when someone heard you scream that at a distance, they would know to come no closer but to go away. Leprosy was a dreaded disease. And the Bible said that these 10 lepers were begging for healing, and they stood afar off, lifting up their voices, saying, have mercy on us. And in Luke 17, in verse 14, Jesus speaks, and the Bible says, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. There's the instruction. Go show yourself to the priest. It's doable. A simple little instruction. Well, God, I need a financial windfall. God, I need healing from a terminal disease. God, I need deliverance for one of my children that are in trouble, and it seems there is no hope. However huge the mountain is, however great the need is, the instruction you will get to begin your miracle is simple and doable. He said to these 10 lepers, they needed healing for their body. Without it, they would die that way. And how did the miracle begin? When you leave right here, next place you go is the temple. Go in there and show yourself to the priest. How doable is that? We need to hear an instruction. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. We need to hear an instruction and follow the instruction. It will be simple. Don't be fooled by the simplicity of the instruction. To 10 lepers, lifting up their voice, screaming, begging for mercy from afar, needed a miracle so desperately, they could have said, well, I said, I ain't going to do that. That's not going to heal me of my leprosy. But no, they heard the instruction and they followed it. Here's the rest of that verse. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. When did they get their healing miracle, that they begged with loud voices for mercy and healing. They got it as they were following that simple instruction. Jesus gives an instruction for your miracle. It's almost like, well, in fact, verbatim. So it was, as they went, they were cleansed. My, God is already, I know it right now, he's already working a miracle in many of your lives. Already right now, because you're hearing and you're receiving and you're following the instruction. Simple up front, simple. God's done huge things for me from time to time in my life that began with something so simple, just a simple thing to do, and it led to something much greater. In the Old Testament, there was a famous leper. His name was Naaman. If you went to Sunday school, you heard about Naaman. Naaman was not even a Jew. He was not even an insider to the things of God in that day. He was a Syrian, an enemy to God's people. And he was a high-ranking officer in the army, the enemy army. And he was a leper. A great man in every other way, but leprosy had claimed his body. And the Lord used a young lady from Israel that was captured by this enemy army. And she said, you know, there's a man of God where I came from. He's a prophet of God. And I believe he could help you. And so Naaman the leper, that powerful man that he was, said, well, okay, I'll hear what he's got to say. And he got his hopes built up a little bit. And Elisha was the prophet of God in that day. Elisha did not even go to Naaman's house himself, but sent his servant, said, you go to Naaman's house and you tell him, you give him this instruction. Tell him to go down to the Jordan River, and it was muddy. I've been there, it's dirty water. You tell him to dip under the water 7 times, and he'll be cleansed from leprosy. But Elisha didn't even go give him the news himself, sent his servant. Naaman, the powerful man that he was, that ego that he had, obviously. Well, he was peed off. God. You know what I'm saying. How dare he call himself a man of God and won't even come himself. And then to send a messenger? Does he know who I am? To send a messenger to tell me to do something stupid, like go down to the Jordan River. I'm being pranked and I know it, and so I'm not in it. He was angry. He was angry. So there was that period of time where he did not hear the instruction for his miracle. Now, that wise little servant girl that was captured and held hostage in his house, in Naaman's house, said, Naaman, sir, you shouldn't be angry that the man of God sent word by his servant. You know, if he'd asked you to do this great thing, then you'd have jumped at that. But since he's asked you to do something so simple, since he's given you a very doable instruction, you're angry because of it. And so those words struck with Naaman, and he went down to Jordan River as a leper. And he submerged himself 1 time and got up and was still a leper. He did it the 2nd time, still a leper. He did it the 3rd time and the 4th time and the 5th time and the 6th time and came up out of the water with leprosy all over his skin because the instruction was clear. Do it 7 times. What if he'd have stopped after 6? You know, the devil, he seems to work harder the closer you get to your miracle. Have you noticed? What if Naaman had stopped after 6? But he went down the 7th time, and when he came up out of the water after the 7th dip, his body was perfectly cleansed from any leprosy. And that's how he got his miracle, by hearing, receiving, and following an instruction that was a very simple, doable act to take. And then Jesus speaks these words in Luke 4:27, referring to Naaman. Jesus said, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman. Many people needed miracles. Just like today, many people needed miracles. And in Naaman's day, many lepers in Israel, and none was cleansed except Naaman. Could it be that Naaman was the only leper in his generation that received an instruction? Spiritual hearing is important in times like this. I expect to hear God speak. I do it as a lifestyle. Now, I'm flawed. I'm imperfect. Don't put me on a pedestal. I will disappoint you. I'm human. I'm a man. But I do believe that we mortal men were built to hear God when he speaks. Many people who do not believe that and do not live according to that stumble through life as a victim all life long, never even knowing that there's a position available for us as children of God to where, well, I'll tell you how easy it is to hear God speak. Every time I open this book, he opens his mouth. That's how easy that is. And so somebody needs to grow in their faith that they're able to hear God when he speaks. Jesus spoke the word to his followers as they were able to hear it. Mark 4:33. I'm just saying to you, you're the people of God. You are well able to hear God when he speaks an instruction. That's how your miracle will begin. Miracles happen when God speaks and we take action. Hello, have you ever heard? Faith without works is dead. Dead and useless faith. That's the worst oxymoron, contradiction in terms I've ever heard. Dead faith. Useless faith. Those words should not even belong in the same paragraph together. But yet faith, which comes by hearing, is dead and useless, no good for anything until action is taken on what you've heard. Faith without works is dead. Now, I remember in the early days of our church, in fact, before we had ever had our very first service, I had just moved from California. I came because I know God sent me to Florence, South Carolina to start a church. Before we left California, I knew we would name the church Abundant Life Church. I knew we would welcome the wounded and the hurting. I knew that we wouldn't only have high society's best, but we would also have the downcast, those who are down and out, those who are poor and deserve the gospel to be preached to them. In the early days of our church, we took everybody. We still do. We never have changed that. Somebody gave us a word one time and said, since you're willing to take those that nobody else wants, God said, I'm going to send you those that every other church wants. And look, 32 years later, here you are. Every other church be blessed to have you. But Abundant Life is blessed to have you here. But before we had our very first service, we had moved from California, our little possessions in a U-Haul truck with a car on a dolly pulled behind the U-Haul truck. Left our life in California behind, come to Florence to start a church. It was the call of God for our life, and we knew it. We got here, drove our truck to my parents' home, mom and dad. We got there on a Thursday night, and had family celebration together, a good meal, and my dad said, "Carl, I know you're looking for a place to start a church. The old Church of the Nazarene building is empty. It's up for sale. You may want to go and look at that." So the next morning, day one in Florence, in this new season of our life, Brenda and I got in the car and drove there first. We have a picture of that first church building. Now, when we first saw that building on day one, looking for buildings, I noticed, well, that's not going to last us forever because we're going to need a bigger church. But I said, what a blessing it would be to start our church in that building. That would just be marvelous. But there was that sign in the front yard, for sale, with a local number, for sale. And I was so intimidated because I didn't have any money. We didn't have any church people. We didn't even have anybody to take an offering up from. And then it's for sale. I was so intimidated. This was in July. We started the church in September. So we had 2 months to look around, and I visited other churches just to see what God was doing in Florence, and he was already on the move, and everything we saw was good. But in July, I saw that building, and it was for sale, and I thought, oh, intimidation. I don't even want to have a conversation. Because first thing, the price is this much. Can you afford it? Well, no, I don't have a dollar. So I stayed away from that building. We looked for other property, places we could rent, and, you know, seeing what God would do when we knocked on doors and nothing opened until about 4 or 5 weeks after we were here. And that's the first building we saw, and that for sale sign intimidated us. And we went to church in Florence at another church, of course. On that Sunday morning, we visited 7 or 8 churches during the 2 months, knowing once we started our church, I'll never be able to visit another church in Florence on a Sunday morning. I've been right about that for the most part, few exceptions. But we visited another church here in Florence on a Sunday in August, and God gave me an instruction as we walked out of that church. Now, I ain't spooky about it. I'm just so real. But, I mean, you know when God speaks to you. You don't hear it with your ears. It's much louder than that. I heard it. It was like, it wasn't even verbiage. It wasn't even, I can't give you the words. He said, but it was an instruction. It was like on the inside of me. I just could not wait to get to a phone and call that number. It was just like, I mean, I cannot tell you. I'm not going to super spiritualize this and say God spoke to me and said, call that man today. I'm not going to. But it was like something inside of me. I just knew I need to call today on a Sunday. So that Sunday afternoon, I called the number that was on the for sale sign at that church property there and realized I was calling a pastor's home. His name was Pastor Holloway. I mean, I had that instruction, call today. And I said, Pastor Holloway, my name is Carl Morris. I'm in Florence just a few weeks now. We've come to plant a church. And I notice the building is for sale. And I'm calling today simply to tell you this. We cannot buy it. We've not even had our first service yet. We don't have the money for a down payment, no way to make payments or nothing. But I'm calling to see if you would be interested in renting that building to us with the understanding it's for sale, we know it's for sale, and when you sell it, we'll be out in 30 days. And he said, Carl, that building's been empty and for sale for 18 months. We have had 30 groups or 30 people in the 18 months call us and ask if it's for rent. But the church board decided when we put it up for sale, we would say no to anybody who called wanting to rent it. Our answer would be, No, it's not for rent, it is for sale. And he said, but it's interesting that you called me today. He said, because our insurance agent called me Friday and said, if we don't get a tenant in that building, that they're going to cancel our insurance coverage. And he said, I have an emergency board meeting tonight. I'm calling tonight to ask our board what we should do. So, Carl, it's interesting you call me today, because the truth is you would be doing us a favor to rent this building from us. The importance of hearing an instruction, so simple, it's so doable, it's such an easy thing. If you're not careful, you'll say, oh, God wouldn't ask that from me. If God wanted me to do it, it would be bigger than that. No, just, but I knew it was like there was a drive in me. It was a spiritual. I knew it was spiritual. I need to call that number today on Sunday of all days. Not even a business day in the week. But it's a good thing I did. He said, let me mention this to the board tonight in our board meeting. I'll call you back late tonight with an answer. And he said, now, if we rent it, could you pay $1,200 a month? And I said, no. I said, no, please. We don't have any money. We don't even have a congregation. We've not even taken up an offering. No. And he said, well, then how much should I tell the board you can pay? And I said, $100 a week. We believe we can do that, $100 a week. And when you sell it, we'll be out in 30 days. We'll leave the place clean for you. He called me back that night and said, I just left my meeting, and the board is thrilled to rent that property to you to start your church in, $100 a week until we sell it. So we were there for 6 months until it sold, and then another miracle happened. We were there for 2.5 years, and then another miracle happened. We were in the third place 10 or 11 years until this miracle happened. And miracles begin with an instruction. I didn't mean to get into all this, but this miracle right here, our permanent location, 12 acres. You know, Walmart gave us $1 million. I mean, and it God, we a greeter at Walmart right over here. I mean, we were down on House Springs Road, happy, loving God, being blessed by God, growing as a church, and then our bishop gave me an instruction. Sometimes when a man or a woman speaks to you, God is speaking, and there may be an instruction. And our bishop, Houston Miles, had preached for us on a Sunday morning down on House Springs Road here. And after service, he said, Carl, I think you're planning on building another building here. I said, yeah, a 500-seat auditorium right here on these 4 acres. And Bishop Miles simply said, Carl, have you prayed about a different location? I said, well, no, we really haven't thought about it. And he said, well, when a gas company builds a gas station, they get the best location. And if it's important for a gas station to be in a good location, it's important for a church, don't you think? And I said, well, yeah, that makes sense. So just that instruction, just open your eyes and look for more property, better property in a better location. And so I immediately thought, well, we'd want to be on Irby Street. If we're going to get off of the side road, let's go to the main one. And we'd want to be on the south side of town. In fact, we want to be right here. And that led us to a sign for sale property down here, and 21 acres. And we financed it. Our plan was to pay on dirt for 5 years and then think about drawing up a building plan. And as soon as we put a sign on it, future site, Abundant Life Church, Walmart wanted that property from us. We hadn't even paid for it. We had just financed it. We were borrowing the money. But because I heard an instruction and I followed the instruction, within months after we financed that property, planning to pay for it for 5 years, Walmart bought it from us and blessed us with almost $1 million profit. That's how we're here. That's how we got here. We are here 5 years earlier than we ever planned to be. Miracles happen when God speaks and we take action, and the working of miracles requires faith and human effort. Listen to some of the human effort as we close. Jesus one time told his disciples they were needing a miracle. He said, launch out into the deep. Now, that's an easy thing. If you're in a boat, all you got to do is instead of going that way, go this way. Launch out to the deep. So doable. One time, there was a man paralyzed, had been that way for a long time. Jesus came up to him and gave him a three-step instruction. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Now, the man couldn't walk first, so the instruction came in divine order. Rise. That could mean just lift your head up. Just rise. All right, and then when you do that, you'll realize you're able to take that bed up. And then when you do that, you'll realize you'll be able to get up and walk away from here. Then another miracle with an instruction, feeding the 5,000. We talked about that a few weeks ago. It included this instruction before the miracle. Jesus instructed his disciples, sit these 5,000 people down on the grass in groups of 50. My, I wonder why. I mean, fish and bread's only going to go so far, whether you're sitting in groups or standing around grabbing for it. I think it's the principle that God partners with us. He gives our faith an opportunity to hear an instruction and go to work with it. He just includes us in the miracle. Sit them down on the grass in groups of 50. And then I'm going to close with this one. I may even talk one Sunday about this miracle alone, but it's the man who was born blind from birth, and it's in the 9th chapter of John. This is the miracle where Jesus encountered a man who was born blind, needed his sight, needed a healing miracle. Jesus spit on the ground, made clay with the saliva, anointed his eyes, and in John 9, verse 7, Jesus said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now wait. We don't even have to break that down. There it is right there. The instruction. You need your sight. Then go and wash. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Notice how simple, and notice there. We don't need a diagram of it. I don't need a whiteboard up here with a black marker saying, "Here's how it all happened." No, Jesus gave an instruction: go and wash. What did he do? He went and washed. For those of you who were expecting a heavy revelation today, I hate to disappoint you. Some things, that's the instruction. Go wash. He went and washed. Just that simple. And he came back seeing. Now, if you need a miracle, and many of us do, this is the summer for miracles. This is the time when corporately we laser our faith and we focus it on the need, and then beyond that, the miracle that will meet that need. And these are days to hear an instruction for your miracle. God is speaking to many of us. Would you stand, please? Everybody stand.